Welcome to the Executive BA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Anthony Rangeli. Anthony is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2024, and he and I recently connected to talk more about his decision to pursue an MBA, what led him to Darden, his work as president of the Executive Student Association, what he's been enjoying about his second year, his upcoming trips to Italy and Vietnam, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Anthony Rangeli. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett.
Well, it's great to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Really trying to slow everything down going on at work, school, and home, and just trying to be present during the moment. It's hard to imagine there's only a few months left until graduation at this point.
Yeah, gosh, you have what, 3 weekend residencies at this point until graduation?
3 weekend residencies, one global residency for me, and then LR2, leadership residency 2 at the end of April. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard to imagine. It goes quick.
Yeah, what global residency are you looking forward to?
I'm going to Vietnam. We go at the end of February, so that should be a lot of fun. I've never been to East Asia, and just really excited to look and see at and experience different culture.
Yeah, what global residency number is this for you?
This will be 3. I will have gone on 4 global trips in general. So the first one was Australia. Second one was Finland, Estonia. I'm doing a global consulting project for a grocery store chain in Italy, and then Vietnam.
Will you tell us more about your global consulting project?
Sure. So it's with a company called Tulips Market. They're what's known as a dark grocery store, which means that folks don't go and shop in person. Everything is done online. And so you can either pick it up at the local warehouse or it's same day delivery. And what the project itself is trying to build a business intelligence dashboard and model that also builds into machine learning and customization on the website front to drive top line revenue for the company that help increase profitability.
Did you know much about the grocery store business before starting down this path?
Not much about the business itself, but I do frequent a grocery store at least once or twice a week. Wegmans is my favorite. I probably could write a blog on where to navigate, how to navigate Wegmans and what to purchase and stuff like that.
All right. So you're a grocery store fan, I think it's, or maybe more specifically a Wegmans fan.
Yeah, that's my guilty pleasure, is to walk around the bakery section at Wegmans, try to spend less than $30 on baked goods.
Any insights that you've derived thus far from like Italian grocery stores versus the American grocery stores, or how these markets are different from one another?
Italian grocery stores tend to have a lot more fresh produce, whereas in American grocery stores, they tend to be more flash frozen. Italians seemingly will shop, you know, 1 or 2 days out and shop a little bit more frequently, whereas Americans will do it, you know, once a week. So those are the kind of things that we're seeing with our research.
Will you get to go to Italy as part of that work?
I'm actually going this upcoming Friday, so I'll be flying into Bologna. I land on Saturday morning or Saturday midday, and we'll be spending some time in Bologna in a smaller town called Cesena, which is about due east of Florence in Italy.
Will you get to meet with any of the leadership of the grocery store? What will happen during that week?
Yeah, so we'll be meeting with the CEO primarily. His name is Enrico, and myself, Miriam and Aparna, we're all part of the team that are working with this grocery store chain. And so we've got several different things for a workshop lined up. One is to present our research findings. A couple of them are more interactive items where we're trying to see where the business line units feel is best and what would help drive the most revenue, so that as we're developing these business intelligence dashboards and their model going forward, it would have the most impact. There'll also be some technical sessions to understand the data dictionary, things along those lines.
All right. So you have a lot to look forward to. Two global experiences, a few weekend residencies, and another residency down in Charlottesville for LR2. Are you looking forward to that second trip to Charlottesville?
I am. I always love being in Charlottesville. There's a vibrancy to the culture down there. Being on grounds is always special. So this is my second master's degree with UVA. And so there's a feeling, and I've always had, I'm sure most people do, when you're on a college campus, of just opportunity and growth, that the possibilities are kind of endless there. And I just love that atmosphere. And so just kind of being there, and then obviously being amongst our cohort and my friends and being able to celebrate and kind of wrap everything up together is going to be a really special time come April.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about you. Who are you and what's your background?
That's a great question. I truly never know how to answer this because I don't consider myself to be one thing, but a little bit about myself. I'm a father to an amazing three, almost four-year-old daughter, a husband to a very supportive wife. Being in the MBA program, you know, is a time commitment. I'm a diehard Yankees fan. I have been my entire life. And professionally, I'm currently the chief information officer for Community Bank, BCT, based out of Charlestown, West Virginia. Professionally, my background started as an IT support specialist outside of undergrad, worked my way through engineering and help desk manager, eventually IT director. When I finished with my first master's in management of IT, I became a CTO here and recently received a promotion to chief information officer.
All right. So that's a lot of growth and a promotion. And obviously graduate school has been part of that. How did you decide that you wanted to pursue an MBA? You already had one master's. How did you decide this was the right next step for you?
That's a good question. It must have been around 2018 or 2019 when I was finishing my first master's degree. I knew that this was not going to be it for me with respect to formal education. I remember talking to a few schools at the time and inquiring about their programs and what it took. I told them at that point I didn't have enough left in the tank to do back-to-back masters. It is a big time commitment. But I always knew I wanted to do an MBA because long-term, while my whole career has been in technology, I've always wanted to shift to do more operational and business aspect, also be able to provide more value holistically to an organization. So I knew an MBA was always in the cards. The real question was when. And so about 4 or 5 years ago, I would say that's when I started looking into it. And, you know, eventually we made the decision that now was the best time.
How'd you figure out that timing question?
I think we looked at things holistically. So, you know, we had newish born baby. I think Bridget was one or two. We wanted to get done before she started kindergarten. So we wanted to get it wrapped up before she was 5 or 6. And the pandemic was kind of underway. We were kind of coming out of that. So we felt safer kind of being around people. And we just looked and thought, hey, this is the best time if we're looking at the next 30 years to get this done. No time like the present. It'll also maximize the value of the degree because I'll be able to leverage it sooner. So it was a number of factors, personal as well as, you know, strategic.
All right. How did you decide Darden was the place you wanted to pursue your MBA?
A couple things. First being the UVA connection. As a who already, UVA has a special place in my heart. I love being down in Charlottesville. So that's one thing. The other is Darden's reputation. Darden's widely regarded as a top 10 business school. And I knew that having the opportunity to go here would be a tremendous opportunity for my career. And lastly, the networking community. I know a few Darden grads just through my normal network, and they always mention the strength of the network, the value of the degree, and the quality of the faculty. And so I wanted to be part of that and help become a piece of Darden.
All right, so you come to Darden, you're a brand new executive MBA student, you've got, you know, work commitments, you've got honestly a lot going on in your personal life, family. Life, and now you've added school to the mix. It's not the first time that you've done a working professional program, but you know, what was that? What were those first few months at Darden like for you? What was the adjustment process like?
It was an adjustment. It's always an adjustment going back to school because you're trying to rearrange your life to an extent, prioritize different things, make sure that your spouse and your kids or anyone else in your life, your friends, know, hey, I'm doing this. This is important. So I'm not as available as I'm going to be. But for me, I knew what it took. So making sure that you prioritize and say, hey, I've got school Tuesday, Thursday evenings, or, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, depending. And then you've got these weekend on-ground residencies, just prioritizing, putting on the calendar and dedicating time to study. So one of the first things I did going into LR1 was assess the amount of time it took me to work through a case. Or do the prep work. And this might sound a little crazy, but it takes me about 3 minutes per page to do a case. So if I know the number of pages to read and prep for, I budget 3 minutes per page and find the time throughout the week. And so our daughter was going to bed around 8 p.m. at that time. So when she was asleep, from 8 to 10, I would be doing schoolwork. And then, you know, nights there were class, I'd do class 7 to 8:30, 7 to 9. So.
And do you feel like you've gotten more efficient at some of those things as you've gone through the program?
Yeah, there are a couple of tools that I've started leveraging that will might read a PDF a little bit quicker to me. I know that Microsoft Edge has a built-in PDF reader, so it'll read so I can have two screens while I'll highlight it while it's reading it to me. I found that kind of helps. And then working with our learning team for on-ground residencies, there tend to be 10-ish cases that you'll work through in any given weekend. And so dividing and conquering and leveraging the strength of your team also kind of helped a little bit.
Yeah, I know that you also took on a leadership role within your class. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so coming into this program, I reflected back on my first executive format MBA or master's degree rather. And I at that point, I had a lot of what we consider to be imposter syndrome. Do I really belong here? What value am I bringing? Items like that. Going into this program, I had a lot more self-confidence. I knew that I had the ability to perform well at a higher graduate academic level, particularly at a school as well-known with the faculty and demands as UVA. And so out the gate, I decided it was important for me to be a student leader to help everyone I can achieve that confidence and skill set to be able to perform in class. So I signed up to be a first-year class representative with Matt and Colin, two of my cohort members. We had a really good time. And I feel like we were doing a decent job. And in your second year, they do class elections for student leadership. And I ran with Ebony Brown, who's a tremendous individual. She's on a different podcast episode. I encourage folks to listen to that too. But she and I ran as president and vice president. And, you know, there's no campaigning that's supposed to be done there. And, you know, I just was hoping that, you know, the video that we created with, you know, what our message was, why it was important, and what we thought we could offer would resonate with individuals, plus, you know, the work that I'd done prior. And we won. We won the election and became, you know, class president, class vice president. And the other individuals who ran for campaigns more or less have all taken on student leadership positions on what we call our ESA board. So even if you don't become class president or ESA president or ESA vice president, there are plenty of opportunities to lead and help your cohort. And for me personally, just this has been a real honor. For me, it is demanding at times. You know, there's no shortage of inquiries and questions and sometimes problems that arise from the student base. But to have the confidence of your cohort to help them navigate through these challenges has been really rewarding. And I honestly would do anything for anyone in the cohort. And it's been one of the honors of my life to have this position.
Yeah, it's obviously, I think, for a working professional student, you're adding another thing to your plate to take on that kind of leadership role and be engaged extracurricularly. But it's great to see so many of our executive MBA students and part-time MBA students seek out these opportunities and want to have this impact. Are there any highlights from your time as president that you would want to share here, or something that jumps out, things that were really important to you?
There's a couple. I had an opportunity to lead the last session of LR1 for the incoming class of 2025. And so it was really kind of a powerful experience to see them after they'd been through a week of, you know, really a huge adjustment, getting to know everyone and set them up for success, you know, was really powerful. You know, there this anecdotically, there's a member of the class, Richard Chalky, who always comes up to me and he nods his head, he was Mr. President. And I'm not big on titles. I could take or leave it. You can just call me class, you know, I think people know what my role is as a student leader for the class, and the present title doesn't mean a ton to me, but I, you know, when he does that, I always kind of chuckle and find it kind of funny. There is really no power in the class president role. When I was in Australia, there was an animal sanctuary that wanted to see student IDs. And I went up and was like, hey, I'm the ESA president. Like, I can vouch for all these people, and they quickly put me in the back of the line. So don't think there's a ton of power that comes with the role.
Or it may not translate immediately outside of the Roslyn area, perhaps, at least not to Australia.
No, it ends at the border. That's for sure. But it's been rewarding to help people with their individual challenges as well as the macro challenges, and to get back to Darden. Darden has been really good to me. I'm very passionate about the school, very passionate about learning, and to be a member of the community, a member of student leadership, and to interact with faculty and academic and school leadership has been really, really rewarding.
One question that's sometimes fun to ask folks here on a podcast, because our prospective students, they hear it, but they may not know exactly what it is what is it like to learn through the case method? You know, how would you describe this to someone who is just learning about Darden, trying to get a sense of the academic experience? How do you explain this to them, Anthony?
I really enjoy the case method. To me, it's a tremendous opportunity to hear from a diverse group of individuals in your cohort, whether it be through the diversity of industry, academic experience, cultural, racial, or financial upbringing. But it's an opportunity to not just learn things via textbook, but apply them to real world business problems. And a lot of the cases that we study tend to be those that are real cases with real individuals. And at times you actually get to meet the individuals who the cases are written about, and they'll talk through like their experiences, what they wish they had done. And to me, this is a really great way to help with Darden's mission, which Darden's mission is to improve the world by developing responsible leaders through unparalleled transformational learning experiences. And I can't think of a better way to do that than the case study method, just to hear from everybody, to work through these problems, gain different insights, and really kind of look at things from a 360 degree view, as opposed to just, hey, here's how you do accounting. It's, hey, here's accounting, but here's a problem that a business faced once with an accounting type problem. How would you handle it? And that's really powerful.
And this is maybe in the realm of impossible questions, but is there a case that you have just really enjoyed, maybe something you read recently or that stands out from your first year experience in the core?
Right, that's a great question. It's hard to think about all the different cases. There's one that really comes to mind, and it's the Army Crew Team case that we did in leadership communication. It's a case that's not necessarily, you know, a quantitative case, but it's one that really talks about how to leverage the team and how communication, getting everyone on the same page was. The reason why this one sticks out is we had in my learning team, there were three different individuals who had military backgrounds. And to gain their perspective on, you know, West Point and what was going on there at the time, really kind of provided insight. So it's really kind of powerful to bring like your learning team as well as the classroom model. And we had several individuals in my class and at the time that were also from West Point, that and a couple of them that were there while this was going on, and to learn about the culture, but also how important it is to be a leader and what leadership skills take to attain that next level of greatness, not just for yourself, which is not important. That's not the point of leadership. It's for your team and how you can get the best out of them. And to hear from everyone's different perspectives from different backgrounds, I thought the conversation around that case in class was very powerful.
Well, you're in your second year now. How does the second year for you, taking electives, obviously choosing your classes, but second year versus first year, how does it feel? You can tell us a little bit more about what it's been like being a second year student in the executive MBA program.
I find second year a little bit more fun. The first year, you're really trying to get your feet under you, trying to establish who you are, trying to learn the people around you. One of the powers of being a second year student is you're more comfortable. So you've got this psychological safety, if you will, to be more yourself, to share more in class. And additionally, with electives, you're choosing the classes you want. So the first year is core classes, which, you know, everyone takes: Finance 1, Finance 2, Marketing 1, Marketing 2, Accounting 1, Accounting 2, et cetera. And those classes are great. And it's fun. I never took economy in my life. I absolutely love both our economic professors and the classes. But now I'm doing stuff that feels even more uniquely Anthony. So the courses I'm taking are the ones that I want to take as opposed to ones that are required. So going to an MBA program is something that you're doing kind of for yourself or for your family. And this kind of elevates it to the next level. And it's, you know, the classes tend to be smaller and electives, which allows you, you know, a little bit more intimate conversation with everybody. So I don't know, I'm enjoying it. Like I said at the beginning, just trying to enjoy the moments, kind of slow things down and really kind of take away as much as I can.
Any electives that you've taken over this year that really stand out to you or that you'd want to mention here?
I could probably mention everyone. There are a few. Data analytics with leadership in a sports context was one of the most interesting classes I'd ever taken. And so you're doing a lot of regression type analysis in that class with the lens on sports in general. And so you're figuring out how decisions are being made in sports, how decisions are being made in a draft, and how you're quantifying qualitative stats. And at the end of each class or towards the end, you would then leverage like the sports data and how sports are leveraging this information into, you know, a non-sports industry, and how you can make quantitative analysis and qualitative stats for performance evaluation metrics and things along those lines. So that one sticks out quite a bit. Jim Dieter teaches that one with Kevin Cullen, who works for Monumental Sports in DC. It's just a really cool, interesting class, just very unique from any of the other MBA courses that I've taken.
That does sound like a really interesting class. Do you have outside speakers that come in for that class?
We do. So we had an individual with the Ravens who works with their performance analytics team, and he talked how they draft and how they actually look at past behavior and how they rate them, and how they put that into their model when they're looking at who to draft. Because oftentimes, you know, the margins from an athletic standpoint are very close. There's very few Patrick Mahomes in the world. There's probably a few more quarterbacks and NFL players that might look more like a role player, and trying to figure out who of those would be the best fit for the culture of the team is really important.
Super interesting. So you're here. You are in the second to last quarter of the second year program. Of the executive MBA program in your second year. You are in quarter nine out of 10 quarters. What's on your bucket list? What are you looking forward to as you close things out? We talked about your global experiences, but are other things that you're thinking about?
Yeah. So outside the global experiences, it's a couple more classes. You know, in Q10, we're taking financial institutions and markets, and a corporate strategy class. So I'm looking forward to those. But mostly for me, particularly having grown and developed with everybody, just seeing everybody that I've come to know and love since the start of the program finally achieve their MBA, that everyone's been working hard and dedicating time and making sacrifices to achieve that goal is really what I'm looking forward to, is just celebrating with everybody and seeing the smiles on everyone's faces come April and May.
Yeah, that is a special time, certainly, in the program. As you get to graduation, there's all kinds of job updates and news, promotions, new roles. And, of course, the culmination of 21 months of hard work, graduating from the program. Do you have a favorite memory so far, Anthony, from the program?
Well, there's so many of them. But this is not truly a single memory, but one that really sticks out is my trip to Australia. This was my first global residency, and only the second time I've traveled outside of North America. So for me, I decided to challenge myself to go to the furthest location, knowing that if I can go to Australia, maybe I can go anywhere. I had such a tremendous time on this trip, getting to bond with everyone there. I undoubtedly made a few lifelong friends as a result of this global residency. However, I recall a few sequences with our professor, Shane DeColi, who was on the trip, where we talked about a lot of things. One in particular was my belief in lifelong learning and the value of personal growth and development. He and I talked many times and about the need to travel to attain understandings, appreciation, and perspective of different cultures. These things are not easily learned in the classroom, as I've learned and as he shared in our conversations. And so this conversation inspired me to go into two additional global residencies, Vietnam and Finland and Estonia, as well as the global consulting project, and helped me realize that in life, I need to do more to focus on pursuing my passions. And experiential learning is an incredible part of that. And while I'm becoming a better individual after having had the opportunity to spend a week in Shane and everyone else in Australia, it's important for me to continue to carry that on forward just to make me a better leader globally going forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that Vietnam trip. What are you looking forward to on that? Have you started to get a sense of the itinerary or things that you're looking forward to?
I haven't looked at the itinerary yet, but a couple of my friends have shown me pictures of Ho Chi Minh City in particular and different restaurants and things there. So I'm interested to just really kind of experience how different it is culturally from us. I have a very, how should I word this? I often use the word refined palate, but I'm a picky eater. So I'm curious as to what I'll try there that I'll like, or if I'll just find myself at McDonald's a couple nights and figure it out from there. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really fun time. It is our last global residency. And so I think the stress of academia will probably be in the past. So I think we'll have a lot more fun there, but also to see how the businesses operate. That, you know, that's an important critical part. I know that we're going to visit an electric vehicle company, and seeing how, you know, those cars are manufactured, how they operate, how the companies are thinking about that, both locally and globally, is important. And Vietnam is becoming a manufacturing powerhouse. So seeing how they're operating, how they're building warehouses, and how they fit to the global economy is going to be really kind of cool too.
Yeah, one of the great food destinations of the world. I think Anthony Bourdain went there, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 plus times on his show back in the day. So I hope you and your classmates have a great time exploring. I think that's one of the fun things about global residencies too, is that in the evenings, typically most nights, you have time off to get out there and experience the culture, experience the country. And so last question here for, well, a couple questions for you, I should say, as we wrap up. What do you think the impact of the program has been for you?
It's quite a few. So for me, there's three kind of buckets here: personally, professionally, and socially. So personally, I have a bit more confidence in myself and my abilities. I also have the competency to contribute across not just multiple business domains, but also assist myself and others in living a good life and helping them achieve their goals, whether that be professionally or personally. Professionally, my company clearly has recognized the growth in me from a business perspective. It is undoubtedly the reason why I'm now this chief information officer for the company, why I oversee more operations in addition to technology. And then socially, just having the network of friends that I've developed, and many of them I expect to remain close with the rest of my life. You know, the MBA program has been really impactful, and I expect it to carry on until the end.
All right, Anthony, last question for you. What's one piece of advice that you would share with our prospective students, something you would encourage them to think about?
I'm going to give you two, because I don't like giving just one. My opinion is that attending Darden is an investment in yourself for your future that will help you attain the professional goals you have. So it's important to take a chance and invest in yourself. And then lastly, if you're on the fence or nervous about attending the EMBA program, I encourage them to sit in on a class, talk to alumni, current students about your concerns. As I said out the gate, I believe in lifelong learning and education and how important it is for folks to attain it, because it follows you everywhere. And taking a chance and knowing how to grow and learn will help you in every aspect of your life. So not just learning in the MBA, but learning how to continue learning as an adult will really kind of help carry you forward.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. Excited for you and all your upcoming travels, safe travels to Italy, and then, gosh, turn right around and head out to Vietnam. And look forward to being with you and your classmates down in Charlottesville for LR2. That is always a special week. You know, it's the last academic experience in the program, and there's such a real kind of last week of school feel to it. Maybe, you know, feels like to me, you know, like seniors getting ready to graduate from high school or college or any of that. That energy is still very much a part of that week, and I really love it.
Thank you, Brett. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, and it'll be a really fun time just to celebrate and be there with everybody one last time.
And that was my interview with Anthony Rangeli, a second-year student in our Executive MBA Class of 2024. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.